What's good, everybody? My name is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee.
My name is Mike, aka Uncle Chump, the Bootleg Historian.
And I'm Lil Raymond Daniels, LR.
AKLR. And this is the 3G's podcast. Let's go. And so let me just get into why we're doing this. Uncle Michael, I call him Uncle Michael. He raised me like I was his son. Everything that I am as a man that challenges the world, challenges the way the world sees us. Every time y'all see me on a pod talking crazy, whatever it was, I learned everything from him. He's actually way more extreme than me. We got way more stuff to talk about. And Uncle Michael is like my father figure, right? My father's obviously dead, but I bought him on the show. I bought my dad with me, right? RIP to my father, but I always have my Uncle Michael, and he taught me everything, and I begged him to move in with me. So let me tell you guys who Uncle Michael is, just so I can break down a little bit. So Uncle Michael is my uncle who will tell you he's my poor uncle, but he wants to stay poor.
He likes the struggle.
He loves the struggle. He only identifies with the struggle. If it feels easy, if it feels anything, Uncle Michael is that. Uncle Michael is the reason why I cheer for the underdog. Uncle Michael is the reason why I have a $60,000 New York Knicks basketball court at the other house. Uncle Michael is the reason why when I see black people, I want them to win. Uncle Michael is all of those things. He taught me all of those things. And I begged him to move into my house because I knew that my son needed another voice, someone to kind of humble him. Because I tell Little Remy he could fly. Like, that's why I teach him. And then I needed someone to tell him, yeah, you spoiled motherfucker.
I need tell to him do how lucky he is.
Exactly. So but he tells me he's spoiled, you tell me lucky, but that's why I wanted to do this. We were having a conversation, and I just felt like, you know, like there are a lot of young black men out here who don't have their father, who don't have the father figure, who don't have men to talk to. So to me, that's what this was for. It was just like, I guess it's the male version of Red Table Talk.
Okay.
So, and this is my son, my future. He has my name, and he can't fuck up. So, like, he can't fuck up at all. Like, my daughter can fuck up a little bit because she's the youngest, but he's the oldest, so he can't mess up. So I just wanted to do a show with us because we argue a lot. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Little Raymond will come in the house and ask Uncle Michael about Donald Trump.
And
Uncle Michael can hate. Don't talk about Trump. Man, let me tell you about this mother. Let me tell you.
Way before he was the president.
And I like Trump. I don't have a problem with Trump. Yeah. I like Trump. Because I like the rawness of him.
And I don't know Trump.
And he don't know Trump. So this is going to be speaking from three different perspectives. The 3G's stands for generations. All right? So we about to get into the show. I'm going to throw the microphone to my son and let him start. Because he has conversation that he wants to talk to my uncle and myself about. So we don't know what he's about to ask. I think we do know this one, the first one, but we don't know the other one. So let's go.
Just for that, I'm just going to change it. Since you were talking about Uncle Michael and how he humbles me. Uncle Michael, when you tell me all the time that you hated me, like you would hate me growing up, why would you hate me?
Because you had it all. You was a middle class kid. You was the kid that had it all. And that, you know, I wanted to be like you. I wanted to have the kid. You know what I'm saying? You got new. Every time I turn around, it's something new. You know, new this, new that. He said he wanted to get a Tesla for his birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I told him, number one, I don't like Elon Musk. He's a bore. You know, you just got more shit than I ever had. I didn't have anything until I got here and Ray bought me a car. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you're lucky. I'm not saying I'm hating on you, but, you know, I just
if
don't.
You were saying that if you were a child at his age,
I
based
like
on
him.
Where you are, you
wouldn't
like him.
I wouldn't like him because he's when the middle class. He's a real-life Cosby person. You know what I'm saying? When I first seen the Cosby show, I was thinking to myself, this shit ain't real.
Yes.
Because I never saw anybody that have things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, man, you should see his room. TVs, computers, and everything. I'm like, God damn, he got everything. And then when I pick him up from school, I tell myself I'm not going to lecture him. And every time I get in the car, I say, Ray, you know, man, the black man, you better be careful. You know,
that's what the white, you know, people.
I said, just be careful.
Uncle Michael,
man,
is like Dr.
Don't
Umar.
Get too comfortable.
He definitely wants to see black people win and be successful. This is who I've learned a lot.
And I love black love. I love black love. And, you know,
as y'all see with his shirt that he wears.
You know, I want to be black. You know, I just want to see black people achieving.
So I want to tell y'all something. This is very. So I like this show because it gives us a chance to show you how important perspective is. So I grew up in a house with that, right? So Uncle Michael told me. Uncle Michael taught me to be everything I am today, but he didn't believe I was going to be there.
No,
we can
I did not.
We can talk about that.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, because the, okay, let's get it. All
let's get
okay,
honest. So Uncle Michael went to school for music. I went to school.
I got an associate degree in music management. I went to a school in New York, a Center for the Media Arts, and I knew shit. The closest I got to was, you know, I got a job working in post production in the shipping department. Now I'm gonna tell you a real story, right? And I'm waiting till this time to tell you.
Cool, let's
right?
go.
So my first job, I worked at VCA Teletronics, right? Yep. And what I do, I was working in shipping, right? Now we work with CBS Record. Now,
That's
Sony Music.
Sony Music, yep.
Right. So I just wanted to get in that building. I could not get into that building.
Yeah.
When I bring a package, I couldn't get past the messages. Yep. Couldn't get past the messenger.
Okay.
All my life, I wanted to get in that building.
Okay.
The next generation, what happens?
I get in.
He gets in and he's vice president
of Epic Records.
To me, that's America. But I always think that's just. I look at you, and I mean, no joke. I mean, I love my nephew, and you know, Ray loved me more than I love myself.
Yes.
And we had a time where we didn't want to speak to each other. You know what I'm saying? And I respect that. You know, I mean, out of my other nieces and nephews, no disrespect, but me and Ray and Nadia, my other niece, was tight.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But I sometimes look at Ray and say, what the fuck did he got?
But here's the crazy part. So this is the ironic part about it. I got it from him, and I didn't know that he was giving it to me, but he did. I guess he was like, he didn't believe it. So when I told him I was going to try to be in the music business, he's like, you sure you want to do that?
I thought he was crazy. He had a job with Delta. And I'm going to tell you, I put in an application with Delta, and they called me the next day.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
I learned how to drive at 50.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I bought him a car at 50
and
made him drive.
But I didn't have a driver's license. So yeah, I blew it. I'm like, and when he was with Delta, come on, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, Ray was doing bad. Ray was living in my back room.
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so listen. So first of all, this is why I wanted to do this, because I want y'all to understand that family is family, and no matter how different we are, we love each other. So I want to be in the music business. I quit my job. I've been quit Delta by this time, and everybody's like, I'm dumb. I was selling weed, hustling, and I got robbed. And I was like, I'm not a hustler, I can't sell drugs. So I never did it again. And me and my girlfriend was breaking up. And my car was being repoed. And I didn't have nowhere to go. So I go to Uncle Michael. Yeah, because Nana, my mom, his grandmother, told me, you can't live in my motherfucking house and chase a dream. You're going to get the fuck out. So where do I go, guys? I go to Uncle Michael. I know he's the safest place for me. He supports me. He supports my dream. Number one, he'll tell you, I'm just being Ray. And by the way, I was raised in the house of Uncle Michael, but I'm just being Ray. And at the time, I love women. So Uncle Michael would be like, I still love women. But Uncle Michael was like, man, you have sex more in my house. And
yeah, I mean, Ray, that one year, he had sex more in my house than I've lived it for 20 years. And he brought different girls there. And I was first like, Ray, you know, you got to be careful. And then part of me was like envious. Like, look at this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Look at this. I mean, you met some girls, I'm like, this shit, me? I say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and don't get shit. He go, hey, bitch, boom.
I ain't saying jump
on him. I mean, jump on him. I still don't understand girls. I don't understand black girls today.
So let me tell you something. So Uncle Michael was kind of like my North Star, right, in life. Because it was like, I'll never told him this personally, but he was always my moral compass, right? Let me give you a little bit of information, son. This is what changed my mind. This is what changed my life. I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, let me get back to the house first before I get to there. So I move in his house. Man, the room was so fucking small.
Yes, it was.
You could not walk with two legs. You had to walk sideways.
I remember that.
You weren't even born.
I was there in the house.
Yeah, but you ain't see the room on my bed.
King size bed.
You saw the bed. The room looked like it can't fit a king size bed. All I had was a king size bed because I was bringing on my girlfriend. I'm moving to Uncle Michael's house. I'm chasing my dream. I remember Uncle Michael made me feel like shit one New Year's Eve because I didn't spend it with family.
Yeah.
And Uncle Michael was like, what kind of fucking man are you in there crying?
I remember that.
Because my mother, every year, New Year's Eve, I spent with my mother. And this is like when we was having, this before you was born. This
was
when
sad.
The family was fucked up, Raymond.
Yeah, we was
fucked up. You were born into an amazing situation.
Yeah. I remember that.
You know that. So I remember, so Uncle Michael comes to me one day, and I have a cousin, Nadia, who ironically lives in the guest house at my other house, who doesn't even acknowledge that this happened. So Uncle Michael comes to me and he says, Raymond, you got to get out my house. So I'm like, what? I don't know where to go. He says, if you don't leave, Nadia is going to leave. And Nadia gives me $400 a month for rent, and I can't afford to lose her $400 a month. So I love you, nephew, but you got to get out. And it was, by the way, I wasn't mad at him. No. I understood. I was mad at Nadia. I'm not going to lie. She still kind of owes me an apology. I really feel that way, because it was
why are you mad at Nadia?
Because she had no reason to put me out. It was just, she told Uncle Michael, I don't think it's fair that I pay rent and he doesn't.
Oh, she told Uncle Michael. Okay, okay.
So but she had the master bedroom and I was only there at night. But she was like, I got to get out. So Nadia puts me out. Uncle Michael puts me out. And that's when I go live with women. I pack my bed up.
King size bed.
I pack my king size bed up and I move into this girl house. Shout out to Stephanie Sugar. I move into her house and I lived there for basically a year and a half, and while I chased my dream. And I wasn't around none of them because she lived in Marietta and I didn't have time to go all the way to College Park.
But did you tell the people that you used to pass out flyers?
I did a lot of stuff to get there. But my point is that my cousin put me out at my uncle's house. And I think Uncle Michael always thought I felt a way about that, which I didn't. Mm-hmm. And when my Uncle Larry, RIP Uncle Larry, his brother about a year older than him, when he passed away, I asked Uncle Michael to move in. I had to buy him a car.
And a MacBook.
To move him in this house, which this room and that room alone, and maybe the bathroom is bigger than his whole house, but I had to beg him to move in, and I bought him a car and a MacBook. But the nature of our relationship is he always felt like he didn't deserve. He always felt like he always had a low self-esteem.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
He gave me the confidence, no matter false or not, for him to be this, and I just wanted Uncle Michael to live a great life.
Yep, and something else right there for me. And if you remember, when I was working at the St. Joseph Hospital, you told me to quit the job.
Yeah.
And you said, don't worry about the mortgage.
And I have you worry about it since?
No, I haven't worried about it since. So, but, I was like, I felt like a man need to take care of himself. And I felt like, I never really got comfortable in this house until one day, and I don't know if I ever told you, I was in a jacuzzi chilling. On a hot day. Now, COVID was out. COVID was killing people left and right. And I'm in his jacuzzi. I said to myself, damn, I'm looking for something to worry about. And I'm like, I ain't got nothing to worry about. And then people will come up to me and kind of mess with my manhood. Like, he taking care of you. And I hate when people, what the fuck you mean Ray taking care of me? And the truth is, Ray did take care. Ray loved me more than... It's funny that I got other nieces and nephews, but we are the tightest one. And I'm glad, because Ray kind of saved my life.
And only that, I'm going to tell you something. I do take care of him, but my thing is, I think he doesn't understand that. I keep telling him, I'm like, I'm taking care of you as payback. Because when I was nobody, when I didn't even think I could be somebody, the only person that told me I could be somebody was you.
Yeah. Because you're the only one who would listen to me.
Well, he told everybody else that's true.
Nobody listened to me. My brothers and sisters, I had a lot of issues with my mother, Me, I was a dreamer. Yep. I graduated high school. Nobody said, you graduated high school. It was like, so fucking what? I went into the military, honorable discharge, good conduct medal, never got in trouble, never been in jail. And I'm like, they looked at me like I was a shit. You ain't shit. I felt like shit forever. Ray would... We definitely know the story about the chicken and shit, And then my brother was doing things where I didn't agree with.
My uncle was selling drugs. And this is the important part of the story. We moved here because my uncle was hustling, and he moved the entire family out to projects at once.
Why'd he move them?
Somebody was looking for us. They damn near came in and tried to kill the family.
Yeah, and then they all moved into our house in Patterson Projects.
Yep. And I had no place to go.
And he had to stay...
I stayed at my cousin's house, and that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then me and Larry had nowhere to go, so we stayed at Derek told us to go back to our house.
Yeah.
And he had two dudes staying there. And the story behind that shit, I don't even want to get in there. There were two dudes staying with us.
Yeah.
And nobody fucked with us after that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Uncle Derek. By the way, I also want to take a little bit of credit that I'm the reason why Uncle Michael and Uncle Derek, by the way, we are a tight family. Uncle Michael and Uncle Derek they've been in my life more than my own father has. 25 years, they went straight and didn't say a word to each other. Yeah. Like, we'd be in the same house. Yeah. Because Uncle Derek was like the fucking man. Like, he can't. Yeah. I am Uncle Derek to the family.
Right.
Now, like, Uncle Derek had all the money, all the girls, all the cars, and all the praise. And Uncle Michael would be like, man, I don't sell drugs. And my own mother don't even say hello to me, Raymond. Yeah. This family is fucked up, Raymond.
I'm
11 years old, Raymond. He's telling me this family is fucked up.
I try to do the right thing.
He tells me that all the time.
I walk in the house and they be like, you know, it's funny, like, when somebody walk in the house and it's, oh, the lights come on, and I walk in the house and it's you. I'm like, damn, it kind of defeated my dreams, and especially I went to school and all that shit, you know? And it's just so funny that I see Ray with people. You know, one time he was in the mall.
Yep.
And you saw Chili.
From TLC.
And you saw Dallas.
Austin.
Yeah. And you know, he had a office right next to the Art Institute.
Yeah.
And I tried to get an internship. Yeah. The motherfucker wouldn't even look at me. You know what I'm saying? And when I saw him that day, I wanted to laugh at him because he had just got out of jail. He got jail. Okay. That's why he went to jail, because I'm just saying, I wasn't the type of person that they wanted to get. Now, when people know
you
me.
Thought.
Yeah. I have to let people warm up to me to like me.
By the way, this is why I stay on you. Because Uncle Michael, he was giving me all the confidence, by the way, but he wasn't keeping it for himself. That is a parent's, I want to say role.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Like, I want you to have better than I have. And I have a lot, but I want you to have better than I have. But Uncle Michael was trying to give me that better, and I wanted it. But Uncle Michael is my hero. He raised me like I was his own son, and he taught me, and I'm just glad that we could do this.
Yeah, I mean, I warmed up to this house, I ain't gonna lie.
He like it now.
You know what I'm saying? I warmed up to this house, and you know, the fact that, you know, my nephew provided me with everything I need.
Family, know? Though. And see, this is my thing, guys.
I had a car that I never bought a car in my life. And I'm not bragging, but I never bought a car in my life, you know what I'm saying?
I bought him a car before he knew how to drive.
Yeah. There's a story behind that. Ray bought me a car. It was in my driveway forever. And this dude.
Oh, yeah, that was the second one I bought you. Yes.
This dude would come by.
Yeah.
He said, man, what you doing with this car? I said, man, I'm going to learn how to drive this car. Never you know? Did. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm going to learn how to drive. So 6 months later, he knocked on the door. Man, he gave me $1,000. Said, I want this car. Then I called you. I said, Ray. I don't know. And, you know, and then I promised you that I would drive. Yeah. And you bought me another car.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but I did. Man, my driving experience was terrible. You know,
Mike was still driving the highway now.
Oh, no, not as bad as it was. You know, but the first time I took the driver's test, I fucked up so bad, they didn't even put me in the road. He told me to get the fuck out. You know, he told me to get the fuck out, you know. And then, you know, and then when I got my license, I worked for FEMA, and they sent me to California. I mean, California was that August of 2017, I'm in California.
Mm.
Man, I was so scared driving, man. I parked that car right at the hotel, and I took the bus to FEMA. And then I met somebody
else.
That's
where my Uncle Michael is, guys.
You know?
That's where my Uncle Michael is, guys. He would rather ride the bus.
Yeah, I love public transportation.
And by the way, Uncle Michael is way more comfortable around poor people than he is successful people.
That's true.
Yeah. Is it like an intimidation thing?
It used to be. And with him, you know, his ride wasn't coming, and I was picking him up, and I've been watching him. I watched him, and I never told you this, but I love the fact that you come out with confidence. You know, when you come out of that school, you know, I said, take it, you ain't looking down. You act like you don't belong here. You remember, right, when we went to Lenox Mall, and he was like, Uncle Michael, act like you belong here. And I'm like, normally people's like, what, you know, I'm like apologizing to people. Yo, I'm broke. My nephew got money. You know what I'm saying? And then he took me shopping, and I'm telling you, that's the best experience I had. He bought me a pair of Giselle glasses and some nice clothes and shit, and I started feeling myself like, damn.
And then he felt himself, then you humbled yourself again.
I humbled myself.
I keep telling him to stop, you know, humbling himself.
Shit, man, you know, I said, you know, Ray, Ray started traveling, and he comes in with sweatsuits and all that, and I was like, damn, Ray, why are you wearing a sweatsuit traveling? Because I grew up, you know, with the Yankees, and when every time the Yankees go on the road, you know, we live near Yankee Stadium, and so I like to see the players come in and out.
Yeah,
and then you could tell when the players on the road, they would wear a suit, tie, and briefcase.
Yeah,
and I couldn't wait till I go on the road like that, and I'm seeing him with sweatsuits and clothes. And I mean, I was like, man, Ray, that ain't travel stuff, you know.
He always says, like, that he wanted to be that. My only dream was to never have to wear a suit and have it carry a briefcase. That's been my dream. Uncle Michael, I'm gonna ask you a question, then Raymond, I'm gonna throw it to you. Okay. Have you ever said out your mouth, I'm in the car of my dad, headed to his office?
Oh yeah. No.
I haven't either.
I have.
Yeah. And he was on my way to my office, and he said it the other day. He was on the phone with somebody. He's like, oh no, I'm in the car of my dad. I'm on my way to his office right now. And I remember he hung with the phone, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish. And by the way, I am everything I am because I never told this to my son. I used to lie and do that. I used to tell my friends, yeah, I want one in my dad's office.
You know what I used to lie and do, Ray? My mother was on welfare a whole life.
You don't know what that is.
And one day, grandma, we went to the welfare, and I saw somebody I went to school with. Now I know 99% of people I went to school was on welfare.
Yeah.
And I pointed to a different mother.
What is welfare?
Welfare.
What?
I know it's like a check.
You get a check every 2 weeks.
It's called government assistance.
Government assistance.
You get a check?
Every 2 weeks.
I thought it was every month.
No, well, down here is every month. New York is every 2 weeks.
So, yeah, so all you have to do is go down to this office, the welfare office, apply for it, tell them how much it comes in the mail, and you get a check every 2 weeks.
I mean, you could tell it welfare day because music be playing.
You already just asked?
Can I get welfare?
No, you can't do welfare.
You can't get welfare.
But I looked at
you're not qualified for welfare. What are you talking
about? he never had to deal with food stuff. me and your aunt got into an argument because... Food stamps back in the day was embarrassing shit.
Because food stamps, Raymond, they would give it to you in a book.
In a book.
And you had to like a little book of it looked like money. So imagine dollars. Somebody giving you $100 in a book. And the only way that they will cash the dollars is if you have the book with you.
Yeah, you have to have the book with you.
You have to have the book with you. You can't like, so meaning you can't like rip out and give everybody money and everybody goes spend it. No, if you want to spend it, you have to have the book. And then if I want to spend it, I have to have the book. And we were so embarrassed to be on food stamps, but it was weird because our mothers did not care.
Didn't give a fuck.
Like my mother would be like, I gave you $20 food stamps, bring that shit back.
I would go down the block across the street. I wasn't going to the store with food stamps. Especially a girl that I like, you know what I'm saying? That's embarrassing. You have a food stamp, coupons, I would go up the block, round the corner, down the, I'm not going to the store across the street. Yeah. I don't want to see anybody with a food stamp. But you know what? It was the best thing that happened to us because we ate.
Yeah, but you know, it's say the story about how you pointed to another. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, because I pointed to another guy. I pointed to another girl.
No, what happened? You don't remember what happened. Tell me the story again.
Oh, okay. So we in the welfare, and I saw somebody I went to school with. And he said, what you doing in the welfare? He was straight up, my mom's waiting, trying to get a check. And I'm like, yo, yeah, my mom's work here. I'm just waiting on my mom. And I swear to God, I never told this to my mother, and I apologize. I pointed to another, like, that's my mom right there. She was one of the co-workers. I wouldn't tell him my mom's trying to get a check, too. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, Now that I know about it, it was designed, welfare, in my opinion, it's designed to make you lazy and destroy the black man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's designed to make you...
Destroy the black family.
Destroy the black family.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Because Uncle Michael, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if a husband and a wife can apply for welfare.
No, you can't.
So the only way a woman can get welfare is if no man was in the house. Yep. So women in the projects wouldn't want their man to live in the house because... They will also send out like social workers and stuff that will check to see if you got a man in the house.
Yeah.
And if you had a man in the house, you don't qualify for the check. Yep. So now, that's why they said it killed the black family because then black women, what they wanted was they wanted the money, they wanted the man out the house so they could qualify for more money. Right. And the more kids you had, the more money you got.
White people actually believe that. They believe that you was having kids just to get more wealth. You only get like $100. But that's the belief that we was like that.
That's how fucked up we was. That we wanted, like my cousin Cheryl, R.P. Cheryl. Cheryl had more kids than everybody. So she had seven. She, her welfare check was like $700 every 2 weeks. Every month. And then it was just, I ain't gonna lie, man. I just want you to know, son, you are lucky as fuck.
And I always tell Ray about the refrigerator game.
What?
You know, the refrigerator game.
What's the refrigerator game?
Well,
the refrigerator game is when you would brag to your friends that you had a lot of food in the fridge. And he said that one kid had like A box of lard.
And a jug of water.
Y'all make fun of him?
Yeah, we call him lard. But when we got food, I'm getting something to eat. You open up the refrigerator and all this food and shit, you know. And then we ain't got nothing to eat. You just cook with the slow water and shit. My mother, she would buy a spicy ham with cheese, man, you know. I mean, now it's like, you know, we didn't have shit. Like you. You 15, right? 15. I didn't have my clothes. I didn't have enough clothes till I was 16. No, you know, when
can I tell you something? I'm going to tell y'all something. Hold it. Let's do that, Uncle Michael. Let's switch it up. Let's tell them about our lives when we was 15.
Wait. Before y'all do that, welfare. Could white people have welfare?
Yes, white people can have welfare.
Were there white people in the project?
You know what?
Yes.
Let me tell you what they did, right? There was white people in the project, but what they did is they segregated you. Like, in South Bronx, I don't think I ever had white neighbors. But they did put them in the projects up north. You know, where our cousin Walkers live at. Mm-hmm. They had white people.
Yeah.
But where we live at in the South Bronx, we had no white people. You know what I'm saying? The only white people I remember seeing is the teachers and the police.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they segregated that. Even Atlanta, I found out that, you know, Tech was the first project in Atlanta, but that was made for white people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And there was the other projects that
was
made for black people.
Tech was the first projects, you know, in the country.
Yeah, it was the first projects in the country, you know, so... You know, it's designed, it's really designed to make you inferior. There's a lot of other reasons, you know, we talk about the industrial complex, all the jobs left, you know what I'm saying, the Vietnam War, all that shit is the reason why a lot of brothers are fucked up. I was trying to tell you, your granddaddy was in the Vietnam War, you know what I'm saying?
Everything I want y'all to know, this is who I grew up with. Everything he do with Lil Raymond, he did it to me, I was 11, 12.
The reason why I learned that is because someone get a check from that.
Well,
hold on, somebody get a check from what I'm missing. What am I missing?
The reason why I know that is because someone, not gonna say, but someone gets a check from that Vietnam. My grandfather.
Oh, yeah. My mother, Nana gets a check from my
she
dad.
Gets a check. Yeah. He always talks about.
Got to say something. My mother tried to send me to the army when I was 18 years old.
I'm glad you didn't,
because she said, "You gonna send me a check?" And I was like, and I signed up. She took me to take the ASVAB test. I signed up, Raymond, passed it with a 67. You had to have like a 54 or something, passed it with a 67. And they registered me for the Air Force. And then the guy called me early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing it. I that's another thing. I didn't want a job where I had to wake up in the morning. I wanted a job that I can wake up when I wake up and I can go do it.
You know, but I'm glad you didn't, because you really did. There's no draft. But we have what they call an economic drive.
Yeah.
And the military is a quick way to get out the ghetto. And for that, I got it. You know, I got out the ghetto and I seen shit that my brothers and sisters, besides Chucky, who was in the army, seen shit. But on the other hand, you might die. And then you should understand that you might die for a cause that you don't even know. Like, when I got into the military, I started reading, learning about South Africa. I started learning a lot of shit. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. And I started learning, damn, what is my purpose in the military? But they tell you, we're going to get your ass out the ghetto, which they did.
They do.
But your ass might die. And you might die for...
And to be honest with you, that is something that we don't talk enough about, is that the military is is the lowest hanging easy way out the hood, but you're still risking your life
to do it. The chance of you coming back worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to the VA all the time, and you can see a lot of brothers, they worse. It's worse. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know... I realize, what the fuck, why are you going to, like, just recently, three black people died in I believe, Iraq, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, damn, that's not what they want us, they joined the military for. They more than likely joined the military just to get out the ghetto.
Mm.
Now, you got people who I call Rambos.
Yeah.
Rambos is one that just want to fight shit.
Yeah.
They just want to go in there and fight.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and then, you know, you got another, like, other immigrants. It's easier to be a citizen if you're going to the military as an immigrant.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and they would fast your citizenship. So, you know, I am glad you didn't join the Navy, the military. You know, and you know, and he shouldn't have to join unless you want to join.
I don't want to join.
What'd you do in the military?
I'm sorry. I know disrespect to the military, but I did not work that hard to send my son away for somebody to yell in his face and tell him what being a man is about.
I was a cook. I cooked on this ship. It damn near killed me. I cooked for 6,000 people. You know, I'm glad I've been around the world. And then I got out the military saying I would never cook again. I went to school and all that shit. And then I wound up cooking for another 20 years. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's why, you know, I'm like, you know, like if I were to live life again, I should have just worked for the city.
Nah, you know, man, you should have went for your dream.
I mean, I had these dreams. Oh, excuse me. I had these dreams, and, you know.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, okay. This
me.
Is, well, okay. Okay, this is what
did
happened.
Did you really want to be in the business?
No, this is what happened. I wanted to.
Great question, right?
Okay, this is what happened. I was, when I joined the military, I was going to do 20 years, right?
Yep.
Then, you know, I think 1987, I saw a movie called School Days. And it just, and damn, that's what I, oh, that's it, right? And then I started, and then I remember 1989, I saw Do the Right Thing. And I, if I would ever see Spike Lee, I would explain, Do the Right Thing blew me away. And I said, that's what the fuck I want to do.
Make movies.
And then, yeah, Spike Lee, he went to NYU. Now, before, he went to Morehouse. Then he went to NYU. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm just going to NYU. So I went down to NYU to apply. And we didn't, we, you know, I couldn't get in. First of all, it was too expensive.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the scores.
How expensive was it?
It was very expensive. I mean, it ain't expensive as it is now. But, you know, I had a little GI bill.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
it,
do
it
that.
Didn't qualify.
Right, so... And so one day I'm watching TV. No, before that, when I was in Virginia, I saw a commercial by the Art Institute of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I was saying, damn, I would love to go to the Art Institute. Never in my life thought about I was going to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So when I in New York, I saw a commercial for Center for the Media Arts, and that was like a trade school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 6 months trade school, but they just throw it at you, man. I mean, I learned a lot right there, man. Mm-hmm. Learned how to work TV. All the stuff that we see over here, I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. My goal was to, I wanted to do documentaries about black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, I finished the school and I got a job with, I got a job in security. But they said, okay, we're going to let you work at HBO. So I got a job working at
security,
HBO.
Security, working at HBO.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
I didn't know that.
And my thing was to, you know, try to, you know,
get in the other way.
Get in the other way. You know what I'm saying?
They looked down on you.
I had a few interviews, but that didn't work. And then I got a job with a company called VCA Teletronics. And that job, I was working in shipping. But again, people move up. And I realized, man, New York is a real prejudiced place. And you know, let's say if you Italian, you're going to hire an Italian.
I think you should, though.
Yeah, if you're Jewish.
Yeah, like, you should hire Jewish people.
I mean, my boss, his last name was McGee. And every time we see somebody that come in, the interview, like they got Murray. You could tell the Irish name. I said, he going to hire them. You know what I'm saying? And it was me and this Puerto Rican guy. And they was like, y'all niggas stand at the bot. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they was moving up. And we looking at each other like, what the fuck is, why are we not moving up? You know? And, you know, and then he kind of felt sorry for me. So he tried to give me a lateral transfer, you know? And, you know, I'm like, I ain't never going nowhere. You know what, Ray? You know how much money I was making? $5.35 an hour.
$5.35 an hour.
Yep. And it was just the worst time of my life because all that shit was happening in the Bronx and people was getting killed. And then I was coming home to fucking crackheads and shit. By the way, the best blowjob I ever had was
Uncle Michael. No.
That took a turn.
No. I told you I ain't gonna let my uncle. He would say that mid conversation. Like,
I mean, hey.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, everybody was on crack. And it was just a crazy time in my life. And that's when, you know, I don't know if I ever told you, I was very depressed for a long year, a lot of years.
For sure.
You know, and I mean, I was just, well, every fucking move I made is was wrong.
So here's the thing. I'm going to give you some information. So I have Uncle Michael, who I look up to, and I have my Uncle Derek, who is like God to me, right? Uncle Michael is like, I'm in the house with him every day. Uncle Derek was the fucking man. And he still is. And I watched Uncle Michael, who did everything right, who the man didn't even steal. He wouldn't, you know, when you're in a project, you do dumb shit to get by. He didn't do none of that shit. And I watched him play by the rules and get nowhere. And I watched Uncle Derek break every rule and got somewhere.
Yeah.
But I also knew that Uncle Michael had the moral compass in the family. So I'm watching the moral compass lose, basically. Right, then you start realizing that the system is set up for us to lose.
Yeah, it is designed.
And Uncle Michael was my example that the system is against me, and he didn't even know it because I was just watching him play by the system rules and not get nowhere. And that's what made me say, you know what, I'm gonna have Uncle Michael's heart. Yeah. But I'm gonna get Uncle Derek's brain. I'm gonna get this motherfucking money.
You know, he was a hustler. He was
I ain't gonna lie to you. That was honestly what happened.
He was a hustler. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to tell his life story, but you know, he got a job working at a candy store, and he was just doing candy. And then he went to Numbers. And those baseball cards
he was
that
your
you
age.
Got, those baseball cards that you got.
Still
you
got
know,
him.
I got them. I still got them. I got baseball cards from 1977. I always wanted to give it to my son, but that didn't happen.
But let's say this. So speaking of sports, Little Raymond is a sports fan, and he has. Uncle Mike, I'm gonna ask you a question. NBA, because he already said what he said already on the beginning. I'm gonna ask you straight up. NBA, Uncle Michael, who is the greatest player of all time?
I would say Magic, and then I would say LeBron.
So Magic.
Wait, you hear that? He didn't say MJ's second. He didn't say MJ's first.
Hey, Uncle Michael, okay, let me teach you something, son. Uncle Michael hates winners.
I didn't like Magic. I mean, I didn't like MJ because I just felt like he was. I didn't like his attitude. I thought he was.
You know, like his arrogance.
He was arrogant. That's the word.
But I never mistake arrogance for confidence, Uncle Michael.
Yeah, I didn't like his arrogance. But you know, but, I love LeBron because LeBron, he want to take everybody with him. You know what I'm saying? I love LeBron. Even now, his son is going pro.
You talk about LeBron as a person. I'm talking about best. If you ask me who's the best person, I think LeBron is a way better person than probably all of them.
Yes,
we asking who is the best basketball player.
I still would say LeBron.
Over Michael George.
Yep. Thank you.
See, y'all wasn't around when they was losing.
Who was it?
You wasn't. LeBron. I mean, imagine. I mean,
Uncle Mike, I've been watching NBA since like 87.
Okay. I can go back before 87.
Oh, I can't. But I'm trying to tell you. No, don't try to get stats.
I can go back before 87.
Okay, let me say what he's saying.
NBA playoffs, MJ lost. In the first round, 1984, 1986, 1987, 1988, 1989, and finally beat a very average, who their leading scorer was James Worthy. Not saying that he wasn't good, but James Worthy was, Magic was not, you know, it wasn't the team that everybody knows the Lakers as. So he beat a very average Lakers team in the finals. The reason why he beat the Bad Boy Pistons was because they were past their prime. They won 42 games.
Oh,
that's the
God.
Only way he
Raymond,
could beat
Raymond,
them.
Raymond, can I talk now?
Go ahead.
Number one, you just proved to me why Michael Jordan is the fucking GOAT. Because he lost to all of those teams first round, like you said. I don't know if that's a fact, but you said it, so I'm going to take it as a fact because you my son and you smart. He lost all those rounds. And guess what he did instead of what your GOAT LeBron did? He stayed, he went in the gym, he got better, and he came back and beat everybody who beat him. Meanwhile, LeBron couldn't beat them. He crowned himself king when he was your age, never put his crown on the line, right? Got drafted by Cleveland, knew he was getting beat. He goes and plays with Dwayne Wade, who was from his draft class, who won a championship already. So let me tell you what I want you to understand something. It's a little deeper than me. LeBron, to me, is probably the greatest athlete of all time. But LeBron doesn't represent what a man is to me, as far as him as a player. Not him as a man, him as a player, right? LeBron is the reason why the NBA is fucked up right now. Let me tell you why. Michael Jordan, superstar, right? Dominique Wilkins, superstar. All the superstars was playing in the dunk contest. Every superstar that came in that could dunk, that could jump, that they wanted to be in the dunk contest. Why LeBron didn't do it? Because he didn't want to risk losing by himself.
He wasn't that type of dunker.
He's a star. Kobe Bryant.
That type of dunker, LeBron.
No, he is that type. He's so
LeBron
great.
LeBron,
let me tell you something.
I think the NBA is fucked up.
First of all,
it is.
No, LeBron fucked the NBA up because LeBron.
No, the 3 points.
He got ripped. No.
Steph Curry.
No,
Steph Curry made the NBA the shit.
Steph Curry saved the NBA.
I'm so tired of. Go to the wings. There's no center. Where's the fucking center? I mean,
the game is different now because of him.
Steph Curry.
Exactly.
Even that chick that we the game with the white girl, 3-3-3.
Caitlin Clark.
I mean, I want somebody to go down low. The most
no, he's just a white girl. He's talking about that.
Daryl Dawkins. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody going down low. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's NBA was perfect.
And guess what? Because they're not going down low, they're playing longer, right?
And they take time off.
They're taking time off. And and by the way, all those things, to me, I don't have a problem with.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Three-point shot. I'm just saying, LeBron never participated in a slam dunk contest. He never did anything that put him on the line himself. He, like, I love Kobe because Kobe, by the way, Kobe has his father in his life. Michael Jordan has his father in his life. I always say the difference between them as players and LeBron as a player is LeBron didn't have his dad in his life, because your dad would have told you, fuck that. We going to stay here and beat their ass. And your mama gonna say, let's do whatever we gotta do, baby, to get out of here, baby, and win, baby. And they went and they won a championship. But let me tell you something, Raymond. If you come in here saying something was wrong, I'm your dad, we gonna back out there to fix it. That's what the dad does. Meanwhile, and by the way, LeBron also, great father, great businessman, great everything. But you seeing who he really is, though. Let me give you an example. LeBron's son. LeBron tweets. My son is, Bronny's better than 85% of players in the NBA. I'm waiting to play with Bronny. Everybody's like, Bronny. And then, you know, God happens, you know, and he has the health problem. That's not out of our power. That's not in our power. And then Bronny got to go back down. Now, mind you, a real man would have been like, it's coming. We good. Let's keep going. Fuck the critics. Fuck the haters. I'm looking at you in your eyes, your father. That's what a dad does. Mm-hmm. But he's like, leave Bronny alone. I'll never tell the world, leave little Raymond alone. I'm raising him to be a king. I want y'all to challenge him. Well, then y'all, because guess what? Every time y'all break him down, he going to come sit right with his dad, and I'm going to say, fuck that. Let's get up and do it again. We going to fight together.
But he going to have niggas like me and want him to fail. Because
But my thing is this. I know that. And that's why. And because I'm from the hood, I understand how it goes. I can't change the world's mentality like LeBron's trying to do. Leave Bronny alone. When he's losing, but when he's winning, my son is better, dog. And I'm a LeBron fan, bro. But nobody's above criticism. And my only thing I'm saying to him is that I'd much rather my son be like, personality wise, Michael Jordan the player than LeBron the player. LeBron wants to play with everybody. Of course, I want to play with great players. Man, Michael Jordan wanted to beat everybody. That's what makes him the greatest.
But he's an arrogant motherfucker.
Let me tell you something, Uncle Michael. Arrogance is not a character flaw.
It's
just something that you don't like.
I don't like arrogance.
And what I'm telling you is, let me tell you something, I changed my life. By the way, I love Uncle Michael, but there were certain things that I had to change.
That's true.
I had to reset what he taught me. So here's an example. I couldn't stand Kobe Bryant. Couldn't stand him. I'm talking to one of my mentors, Kevin Hall. He says, you're not a Kobe fan? I was like, nah, not really. By the way, I sound like Uncle Michael. Why you don't like Kobe? He arrogant. I'm sound like Uncle Michael. Then you know what he says to me? He says, let me ask you a question. Do you wake up, and I'm gonna ask both of y'all a question. Do you wake up every day of your life and give it your best?
I try.
Oh yeah, I try.
See, that's the difference between me and y'all. I do. I don't half-ass nothing.
Yeah.
Every day. So mind you, here's what I'm saying. That's something that y'all gotta change. If I wake up as a man, my job is to give my very best. The only person who knows if I'm giving my very best is me and God.
Now you gotta live with yourself, right.
So what I'm saying is that he asked me, do you wake up every day and give your best? I was like, absolutely. He said, do anybody work harder than you? I was like, I don't think so. I know I work the hardest. He said, do you expect to win? I was like, hell yeah, I expect to win. I'm working my ass off. He said that you're Kobe Bryant. And at that very moment, I started liking Kobe.
But you got to be humble in this.
No, you don't.
No, humble is
what Uncle Michael.
Humble
is what they teach poor people to be, because to keep them poor. And that's what
I just think, man, you know, got to be humble, man.
I'm talking to you, talking to somebody that was humble half his life and got arrogant the other half. I'm telling you,
I'd rather be around. I mean, okay,
rather be around.
I'm just saying. Okay, I was working at the airport, right? And you know, in 93, 94, and it was. The airport made a big change, a lot of changes in 93, 94, right? And I was working in full service. And I was working for this company, I forgot the name of it, Pascal's, you know? And one of the guys that owned it was a guy named H.J. Walker. I mean, H.J. Russell. Yep. You Google him, H.J. Russell, right? He's from the projects in Atlanta. And I love the fact that when he came through the kitchen, he saw my minimum wage ass and said, sir, how you doing? To me, that was more money.
Wait,
you know?
Atlanta has a project?
No, it's gone now. It's all gone. The project is gone now. But I love the fact that he came through the kitchen, and he made sure that he looked at people as a person. You know, now some motherfuckers.
Hold on. Let me stop that. Let me stop you right there. That's not being humble. That's being respectful. That's different. But in order for him to put his name on H.J. Russell anything, that takes arrogance. That takes narcissism. That takes believing in yourself, saying that my name is worth putting on a wall. That's not humble. Nobody humble wants to put their name on a wall. Humble people's like, oh, leave my name off the wall.
I wouldn't put my name on the wall.
I would.
I mean, fuck it. I wouldn't. I
Remy, would you want your humble name on the wall?
I would name it after something that I like. You know, I would name it South Bronx Building or some shit. I would name it Michael Augustine. You know, that's the characteristics of a dictator.
Watch it. Let me ask you something. I'm gonna ask you a question now, Uncle Michael. You said what show came on TV was the first time you saw black people living good?
The Cosby Show.
What's the name of the guy that created it?
William H. Cosby.
He could have easily called it the Huxtable Show.
Yeah, he could.
That's arrogance. I'm saying to my son, you do not get to the other side without having an arrogant attitude. I just don't believe it. And let me tell you what, you have that arrogant attitude about life. You can have the arrogant attitude about who you are and what you bring to the table every day and feel like that. That's going to be respected. That's different. Uncle Michael is too humble. He taught me my whole life to be humble. And what I started watching was the people that weren't humble win. And I said, well, what's the difference between me and them? Damn. I'm humble. Humble people are taught to go sit in the corner and humble yourself. Nah, nigga, I'm going to stand up and tell myself I'm that man. Because if I don't, who will? Michael Jordan was arrogant, and Kobe Bryant was arrogant. LeBron James is arrogant, too. He just carries it differently. He just carries it differently.
I'd rather be a Magic.
You don't get that far without being arrogant.
I'd rather be a Magic than a Michael
Jordan.
Did you see
Showtime? You ain't watched the documentary? Everybody laughing. Magic was with like 3-4 girls in the bed. That's not humble. That's not humble.
I know that was taking advantage of what you know. I mean, listen, you know, I would do it much as I like it. If I had that chance, yes. You know, if
had
girls like me, I never understood why girls didn't like me. But if girls like me, I would have been like, yo. You know,
no, they don't like the one that's in jail.
No, that's what he
they
says.
Like the women like,
they like
confidence.
Crooks. They like bums.
Said, like, the
no, they do not
bums.
Like bums
they like
and crooks.
Liars.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
they
we
like.
Got, we got a cousin. You got a cousin.
Okay.
Oh, and we're not going to say his name.
Okay. His. Oh, his. We know there's only a few of those.
Okay, we got a cousin that is a bum. And I no disrespect. He's
your
a bum.
Cousin or my cousin?
Your cousin.
Okay, I got a couple of those.
Your cousin. But I noticed that he tell girls lies, and he give girls what they want. And he told me, all you got to do is just lie. And I don't understand.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. But you're missing the point. He's lying, telling them something else.
Yeah.
They believe the lies.
That's what I still don't understand, good girl.
Right.
You know,
Uncle Michael, women want to believe the same and believe in you the same way you want to believe in somebody. You just got to say positive words.
Yeah, I think that, you know,
so in essence,
think that
smart?
You need to. I wanted a woman, and I think I got one. Just give me the nectar. Just believe in me. I wanted
what
my wife to believe
mean?
In me.
Yeah, what's the nectar?
Nectar. Give me that. I mean, let me just believe in me. Just, you know, it's just something about having a woman that believes that you can succeed. Now, Ray, you didn't. You know, when I was broke, You know, I was working at Goodwill when I met her. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you a question. You got a chick that rides the bus with you. Just curious. Rides the bus with you every day. There for the struggle every day. Do you think that's a chick for you?
I believe so.
And I don't.
Let's get out the ghetto together.
And I don't.
Let's work this shit together. And let's be like Good Times.
And I don't.
Let's like be like Jefferson's, moving on
and
up.
And I don't believe that. And I don't believe that.
Nah, I believe.
Listen, let me tell you what I believe.
So you said this bitch riding the bus?
No. Hell no, I wouldn't say that. I believe that people are choosing their best option for what they want, right? So I had a girl that rode the bus with me. I don't want to be with her no more. Because she going to remind me every chance we got. We rode a goddamn bus together. See, I don't want to be nobody to remind me you came from the bus. I don't want to ride.
I'm different. I want to be like...
humble.
This is a song by George Benson. this song by George Benson called Love Times Love.
Okay.
I want to start off with, remember when we didn't have a dime, we were struggling and shit. I want to move up with you. I want us to move up together.
Raymond, do me a favor. Raymond. No. How about this? Ask your uncle, when do you move up then?
Uncle Michael, when do you move up?
You got a pro girl. Y'all both pro right above. When do y'all move up, Uncle Michael?
The thing about it is, me personally, I think that, you know, I'm not trying to start no shit. I think that this might be a little too much.
No, see, he ain't answering the question, you know? Still. Raymond, ask him to answer the question.
At what point do you move up?
Okay, I tell you what I moved up.
At what point do you move up? Not when did you. What point do you move up?
Whenever you get the opportunity to move up.
Okay, when do you get the opportunity? Y'all both on the goddamn bus. Y'all both working and y'all both struggling to pay bills.
We gonna figure this shit out.
When do y'all figure it out?
It might be 2 days before I die, but eventually
that's my point. I don't want to wait to figure it out.
You know,
I want to get it now.
You know, I mean.
Let me tell you something. I was with a girl. Let me tell you something, son. I was with my girlfriend when I was 19, 20. I'm not going to say her name because I still love her. And it's my baby. We cool. But I'll never forget. I wanted to do something in my life. And I was talking about it every day. And then one day, somebody said to her, we used to push wheelchairs together. They said, man, he going to be something one day. Y'all going to be something. And she was like, I hope they do it soon. Because I'm so tired of him talking about how much money he going to have one day. I want to hear that. Guess what? She ain't got to hear it no more.
Yeah. Ray, did your mom ever tell you this story?
You ain't gonna be making it.
Ray.
That she ain't got to hear about how much money I want to have. She ain't want to hear it. She ain't got to hear it. I want to talk about dreams. I want to chase my dreams. I want to chase my goals. I don't want a woman around me who's okay with me being nothing. I want a woman around me that said, we ain't nothing right now, babe, but here's the plan for how we going to get something. If she does that, it's different. But just because she riding the bus with you, holding you down with you, I'm talking to my son because Uncle Michael ain't going to never change his thoughts. Hopefully he does. Just because she riding the bus with you and struggling with you don't mean she's the right girl for your come up. That might just mean that she ain't used to shit and that's why she's happy.
My question is, what does it come up?
For the record, I'm not riding the bus.
What about love? And for the record, I wanted to take him on the bus.
You ain't riding the bus.
I mean, I love the model. Listen, I'm on record. I love the model.
I got to find her in the car now.
Huh?
I got to find her in the car.
A find her in the car? What's that?
I got to find her in the car.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No bus.
See? I'm saving him from the opportunity, Raymond. So, Raymond, let me ask you, do you have any questions you want to ask your uncle and your dad you want to go through?
Uncle Michael, political views. Why do you hate Trump?
I think Trump is an asshole. See, Ray, I go back way before he was the president. You know what I'm saying? Trump family was sued by...
See what he did? I want you to catch something, son. This is great. He said Trump's family.
No, Trump...
Tell him
company,
to focus on Donald
his company.
Trump.
Why do you hate Trump?
He was part
Donald
of this company
Trump.
That was just discriminating against black people.
He's a part of a company.
He was part of the company.
Guess what? I worked at a record label. They discriminate against black people too. You don't hate them.
Yeah, no.
He hates Trump because he's rich and he's arrogant.
On top of that, everything starts with Central Park. I don't know if you know the case.
The Central Park Five.
These black kids, and one was Hispanic, got arrested for supposedly raping a white woman. And at that time, you know, they didn't do it. But they fucked their head up so bad that they was just saying shit. Be like they did it.
Now,
right?
Raymond, I want to ask you a question. Ask him, did Donald Trump do it?
Nope. But what Donald Trump did.
Uncle Michael.
I don't like Donald Trump.
Dad, do you like Donald Trump?
I like Trump for the same reasons I like Jay-Z. They're unapologetically themselves.
Well, I'm on record.
Hear me out. They know who they are. They know what they're here to do, and they're here to do it. when Trump ran for president, if he listened to everybody, he wouldn't have won. But he believed he could win. He knew he could win, and he won. And well, my thing is, son, I was the same. I relate to that because at one point in my life, they told me I couldn't be nothing. And I became something. So you can't tell me, the people that, anybody that says you can't, I don't want the people around me. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. You can do anything you want to do. Promise you that. And the reason why I like Trump as a person is because he's been the same person the entire time. See, I'm a Virgo, son. I need consistency. Even if you're a consistent liar, I'm cool with that. But it's when you're right one day, bad, I mean good another day, bad another day, that confuses me. I just want to know who you are. So would I do business with Trump? Probably not, right? I don't have a problem with him, but do I think he's going to be the next president? Yes. Do I want him to be the next president? I'm still unsure. I think Trump is going to be the next president as a big fuck you to the Democrats for picking the oldest candidate that they thought could beat Trump. And now they're stuck with that old man who's making videos about being old. And
yeah, but let me be on record.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be on record. I want the world to see this. If Trump become the president, he's going to destroy this country. This country will not be better off after Trump.
Can I say something?
So you think he's going to go with Biden?
I would say something. No, hear me out.
Oh, of course.
So here, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm glad you said that. I do believe. I believe this. I can't say which one I know, but I'm going to say which one I believe. I believe that if Trump wins, he either is going to be the shit or he's going to run this country not into the ground. I think he's going to destroy it. Like, I think it's going to be. And my thing, all I'm saying is this, is that I can't say I know which one, because remember when we wanted him to be, when he was the president the first time, we just knew he was going to fuck it up. And it wasn't really that bad. It wasn't that bad.
He did fuck it up.
You had more money in your life when he was president.
No, he didn't. Because of fucking COVID. I got the little stimulus check. I mean, Trump, right, you don't watch news like I do. I watch news all around the world. He didn't do shit for this country. He said we're going to have universal health care. I remember he said, I'll fix it. Nothing. The deficit. Republicans love the deficit only when Democrats in the office. The deficit is higher under Republicans. You know what I'm saying? What he did was
So let me ask a question. Ask Uncle Michael why he's a Democrat, or if he's a Democrat or Republican. Ask him. I want to know this.
I'm a Democrat.
Why?
Okay. I'm a Democrat because
you got to let Remy ask you the questions,
wait,
though.
Wait, what? Okay.
Go ahead, son.
Really pay attention. What is Democrat and Republican?
Okay.
Like, what are they?
Right. You have to look at, okay, you just can't say, I'm a Democrat. I'm a
Which
Republican.
Which was Obama?
Okay, Obama was a Democrat. Okay. You got to look at, see, a lot of people just stupid. Look at policies. You know what I'm saying? What the Democrats are offering and what the Republicans are offering.
What is the difference?
Yeah.
The difference is Republicans believe in giving all the money at the top.
That's not what they believe.
Yes, they do. They believe in a trickle-down economics.
No, that's not what they believe.
Yes, they do.
So I'm guessing you're a Republican?
They believe in less government.
They believe in less government.
But you know what Trump did? What Trump did when he became the president? He hired a motherfucker for the EPA, right? And the dude that was running the EPA before was suing the EPA to drop all the environment stuff. Now, I worked in Louisiana. Louisiana is the cancer capital of the world. You know what I'm saying? You know, and them folks don't care who's being affected, the poor and the black. Louisiana.
But what's but Uncle Michael. So here's what I don't like that we black people, we outcast other black people who aren't Democrats. Is that true, Uncle Michael?
Tell me why he's
I'm asking you that question, huh?
I mean, number one, I can hear something on TV and I know it's a Republican. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what happened in 2016 in Georgia? You know what I'm saying? They fucking purged all these black people off the rolls. You know what I'm saying? Republicans did. You know what I'm saying? Now they changed the rules because we fucked them up in 2020. And then they said, okay, now we're going to stop it. So we're going to say, okay, if you get on the line, you can't feed a motherfucker. If you get off the line, you ain't going to get shit.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe? So let me tell you a story, Raymond. I was just like, I was a Democrat to the day. If you was a Republican around me, I thought you hated black people. You only wanted to risk. I don't think, I was raised like that. So I'm dealing with this girl and her friend says to me, her father was the mayor of Colorado Springs. Never forget. And I was like, oh, okay, dope. And she was like, he's a Republican. I was like, I looked at Uncle Michael, your father's a Republican. Man, Raymond, you would have thought that girl was the devil. And she was like.
She was.
She wasn't. She was not, Raymond, she wasn't.
Was she black?
She was black. His name was, she was black.
Those motherfuckers. I want to fight.
Nah, see,
I ain't gonna lie. Said, I don't want to be around black.
She said to me. She said, she asked me a question. I never forget. She said, "Do you think that?" She said, "Do you think that people should get to benefit from their own actions and not anything else?" And I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "Do you want people to take your money and help make you help other people because they're not handling their business?" And I was like, "Hell no." Nah. And she was like, "Well, you might be having some Republican views." Right. Change my thought
that's
process.
Bullshit, what she's saying. You know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. I would love to see her. That's just this was bullshit. 20 years ago. And now you want me to work for your daddy, and he got this big ass company, and I'm my black ass working for you, busting my ass, ain't getting shit. You're not going to give me any unions. You're not going to give me any fucking health care. You know what I'm saying? That's the shit they tell
you. Let me ask you a question. What have they given me?
Huh? Right, what the difference between me and you?
I'm asking you a simple question. What did they give me?
The difference between me and you is that you don't give a fuck.
What?
It took me a long time.
What?
It took me a long time to notice this about you. I remember I was reading something. Me and you, I put something that disagreed in Facebook, and the person did not know that I was your uncle. You know, something I forgot it was. And then he said, "Yeah, Ray is an asshole." You know, and he said, "Ray is about this and Ray's about that." And I was like, "That's true."
Can I say, okay.
That's true.
I got a great question for my son, guys. Great question. I got an amazing question for you.
Let's hear it.
Would you have the choice between two daddies, okay? One daddy is nice, great heart. He gives to everybody. He takes care of everybody. He gives his last to everybody. But y'all poor. Right? So no, he's giving his last. His last ain't his last million. He's giving his last $6 to a homeless person because they needed it. Or you have another dad who's an asshole, but he getting paid. And not only is he getting paid, he bringing the money home to you and your family. And y'all making money. Which daddy do you want?
Definitely the second one.
Uncle Mike,
I think personally that's what's wrong with America. No. That's what's wrong with black America. You know what I'm saying? I think personally, that's wrong.
Here's my point.
That's why I don't believe there's no love anymore.
Okay, no. Uncle Michael, it's love. But my point I'm
at. Shit, where the love at? There's no love. It's about convenience.
No, that's what life's about.
Nah, I'm just saying this.
Uncle Michael, do you love your nephew?
I do love
you.
Love
both of us?
Yes, I do.
I still had to make it a little convenient for you to move in, though.
You did.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You did.
It's okay, by the way.
I know.
Uncle Michael, I want you to understand that is, listen, let me tell you something. I got friends that I grew up with. He know a couple of my childhood friends. None of my childhood friends are doing well for themselves. Should I give them some of my money so they could do better?
No. I mean, if you want to.
No. I'm asking, should I? Yes or no? You got a decision to make.
Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, basically, if you, like, the shit that you go through and, you know, the whole family and the people that you know, when people think that you supposed to give them, that's wrong. You made your bet, and you made it. And I'm glad you made it. The problem with a lot of people, including myself, you know, that's why I try to get up and go
you
to work.
You never had a chance.
The problem with myself is that I don't think that what you give me is extra.
Yeah.
It's some extra
no,
shit.
No, it don't have to be, though.
No, but I know that I got you. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was out FEMA. I'm like, fuck this. I need to go home. And they would go home. You're losing all this money. And I'm thinking, shit, I got my nephew. Yeah. I ain't gonna admit. I got 10% of me saying, I got you. You know what I'm saying? And it makes me feel bad for myself.
So can I tell you something? Can I tell you who you can now be?
Ooh.
You can now be the opposite of those little kids that you resented who had a daddy.
I did.
Now you can be the uncle that has a nephew rather than the uncle who doesn't have a nephew who's like, my nephew ain't shit. My nephew don't do nothing for me. Then you're like, well, my nephew takes care of me, give me everything I want. You can be that guy, but you have to believe you deserve it. And humble people don't believe they deserve anything.
I don't think I deserve it. You because, you know, I mean, I'm glad that you made it. I think about you. I don't know if your mother ever told you a story. And I'm telling you a story. And I bet you your mother don't even remember saying this story. But when you was about 4 years old, Lorraine said she had you in the carriage. And then she said that somebody came up to her and said that this kid is going to be somebody in life.
What?
Yeah, ask her. I never forget that, you know. And I was meaning to always tell you this story.
That's but, crazy. I never heard this.
Yeah, 3 years ask your mother. Old. We were living in the projects. This is before you moved to Patterson Project. And they said, you're going to be somebody in life.
Mm.
And then I said, and I thought about it. I said, damn, she was right. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you know, and I was lucky enough to be 13 years older than you, and I had no fucking friends.
Yeah,
and
I was the only friend. I was your friend.
You're my friend. Yep. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I remember when you was born and everything. You know what I'm saying?
His relationship is like a lot similar to you and Dre.
I remember when you was born, and you know, and I saw you growing up. At least you did. What I liked about you, Ray, and I ain't saying nothing about nobody else. Nobody else. You and Nadia is y'all love me for me. And that's why you and Nadia is tight with me. Now, nothing against anybody else, but, you know, at least y'all would call me up and says, how you doing? And what I really do like about it, I went to a period in my life where I was, like, mad at the man upstairs because I didn't have any kids. And you allowed me to be part of your kids' life.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, and then now my wife got 4 grandkids, and I love them to death. You know what I'm saying? And I tell my wife, allow me to be part of it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things. Every time I see something on TV, you 15 years old, I say to myself about you. And I got to tell Ray, I saw somebody over here got to a car accident. Whole bunch of kids come from school, crashed the car. 3 died, 1 lived, the driver lived. And I was like, I thought about you. I said, Ray, don't make those decisions. That's the problem. I mean, you at the age where you're only thinking about, you know, girls and popularity and the internet.
Money.
And what?
Money.
Yeah, money is important, but to me, money is not. Money and sex is not important to me no more, like it used to be. Money and sex is not important. And when I was your age, money and sex is important. You know, now I'm like, I just want to live a quality life, and I just want to live a quality life.
What gives you a quality life?
Okay.
Money.
I love my job.
And I love Raymond.
Working for FEMA, and then what I do is I go out and I help people, and I sometimes that I broke down and cry.
And can I tell you something? I do the same. Me and you do the same thing for a living. You know that, right?
Yeah.
We help people.
We
provide a service.
Yeah.
That's what you and I both do. Is just that I decided to get rich with my service, and you don't want to. If FEMA offered you $1 million to do that job, would you take it?
Yes.
I'd probably take it. I mean, if they're going to give it to me. No. I mean, you know.
Would you
but
take
I probably
it?
Would give it away.
You damn sure would. I would not. That's my point.
Nadia always Michael,
you're
say,
telling the world, I want you to understand something. You're telling the world I don't deserve when you give it away. That's why I want you to understand. God is a literal God. He just sees what you're saying. Like, and by the way, I ran into a whole lot of money, and that's all I would do, give my money away.
You did.
And I would give it to everybody. And then I would be making great money, but then I would be realizing, like, none of them people would give back to me.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah,
so
yeah,
my thing,
yeah.
So my thing was that I'm going to be a giver. At my leisure.
At times, yeah.
At my leisure. Yeah. I will give when I want to give, and right. I will not when I don't want to give.
Right.
I'm not going to take anything because I'm not a taker at all.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm going to give when I want
to
give.
You taught me how to be a taker.
What?
Uncle Michael, is that the reason why you don't like Elon?
Huh?
Hold on.
He taught me how to be a taker by giving me shit.
Oh, I'm going to say shit. I'm going to say God damn.
He means a receiver. That didn't
sound good. I taught y'all to. Listen, rich dad, poor dad. Rich dad, poor dad. You got to. A rich dad, a poor dad. And it's not money that makes a rich dad or poor dad. It's mentality.
Right.
And what I'm trying to tell you is that, like Raymond, I love my uncle. I worship him. I will give Uncle Michael, if he came and said, if I want him to be arrogant one day and say, Ray, I think I need a foreign car. I'll be like, let's go get that motherfucker because you don't want nothing. But my thing that y'all said is this, is that I want you to have, and that's why the reason why I started this podcast. It was 2 reasons, because I wanted to do something with you guys, but I also know how the podcast business works, and I know that there's money in these conversations, number one. And then number two, I wanted to show you how to just do without thinking. Because I've been telling little Raymond for 9 months to do a podcast. He keeps saying, what does it look like, Dad? When do I shoot? What do I talk about? And I said, sometimes you got to just put the camera on and go. And now look at you, son.
Yeah.
Shooting your own podcast.
Well, what I like about little Ray is, you know, he believes in himself. He don't think that he's less.
He not.
I mean, I'm just saying is that he never did. And he don't understand. Those week, that 3 or 4 days that I've been driving, and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to pick him up. And I'm just going to listen to music.
Yeah.
And then he gets in the car, and I'm like, and then I sent to that scene, Ray, you know? And I was like, I'm not going to lecture you.
I remember what it was. It was in the morning. He was taking me to school. And
he was late.
No, I was not late.
Yes, he was.
I had like 3 minutes to get to school. I mean, 3 minutes to get to class, and I got on time. And then he said he saw that kids had pajamas on. And he was like, he just started saying man, y'all, this is the wrong generation, y'all. These people don't have no priorities, just come to school. He was like, I used to love to come to school. First of all, like he said, I'm about to be late. He's still talking. I used to come to class. I used to
books.
Teach him books.
I love it.
Teach my teachers about Black history.
Yes.
It was
I think, you know, I mean, think about it. No, I also said that he's in this, the way the school system in this country is made of the counties, and the counties got money. And this school got so much fucking resources, and the schools that, some schools in this county don't have shit. I mean, other counties don't have shit. You know what I'm saying? You know,
so
I mean,
whose fault is that?
I know, it's you know what it is? It's the fault of the people. The problem is, Ray, you know, those are fucking Republicans. Those motherfucking Republicans, they play. One thing about Trump is, Trump, the smart one of the things that he said that I always remember. He said, "I love the uneducated people."
When he said that,
he said, "I love the uneducated."
I don't know if that's a proper quote. I don't know.
No, he did that. He said that.
Who was he referring to?
He was referring to his followers. You know what I mean? You know.
Why would he say that?
Because number one, they would listen to whatever he said. If I was to ever see Trump, I would say, motherfucker, do you ever admit wrong? He never admit wrong. He's never trying to learn. He's never trying to, okay, I'm learning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when he said that shit about John McCain, I don't know if you know who John McCain was.
I like winners and losers. Uncle Michael, I'm in the politics.
Okay, when he said that about John McCain,
I said
it was over. It's over. I remember saying to myself, it's over. You don't talk about a military veteran and then you disrespect him. That's why I think this whole fucking country is full of shit, personally. Because they don't care about veterans.
Can I tell you something, though? I think we're all full of shit.
That's true.
Hear me out.
I'm full of shit.
I think we're all full of shit. I think we all have contradictions. And I think that we all have those issues. But that's why I say, Raymond, do what makes you happy.
True.
Do what you want. Let me tell you something. My family will see me with $10 million and feel sorry for the person who didn't work and tell me to take care of them.
Yeah.
Rather than telling that person, get off your ass and be like Ray.
Yeah. One of your cousins
said that
you was now the leader, and then you supposed to give and you supposed to lead. And I'm like, how's he the leader?
Shit or me?
No, him.
Me.
When his cousin said that, and you know, he's like, well, you know, Ray's the leader. Ray's this. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing, Ray? You had to get your high school diploma. You got your high school diploma. You had to do something to make your life quality. And I believe that cousin that we're talking about is one of the most talented cousins that's here.
Yeah.
I see he's very talented. The point is, you know,
we got to make effort cool in the Black community.
Right.
By the way, you too? No, no.
That's true.
No, you got to give effort too. Effort doesn't always work. You think effort is getting off your ass and working. Effort can be trying to learn something different, trying to embrace something different. Uncle Michael, you're not always right. And just because poor people went through it doesn't mean that they deserve everything that people give them, because they got to go do the same shit we do. Listen, I started off as Uncle Michael. We was poor as fuck, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. The reason why I am where I am right now is because I had to get off my ass and believe that there was something for me if I got off my ass. And that requires going to compete against everybody, everyone, everywhere. That doesn't mean staying in your comfort zone around your little friends and all that other shit. I walk through that airport every day, son, and see people pushing wheelchairs and see people running bags. The same job I did. And every time I see it, I say one thing to myself. Thank God I had some balls. Thank God that I believed in myself and I said I'm going to go for it regardless of what people say around me. And what I'm telling you is that I believe that there are people who just have lost their whole life and doesn't like winners. And if you don't like seeing people win, how the fuck do you ever expect to win?
I see it different. I like for all of us to win.
No, no, but all of us ain't going to win, Uncle Michael.
You know what I'm saying?
What was our team was in the 90s? What was our basketball team?
The Knicks.
Did they win?
Nope.
Guess what? I wish you told me to be a Laker fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I would have been growing up winning championships. But I grew up praying for him.
They lost to his GOAT.
I believe that we, I don't know, Ray.
Not
I'm just
my GOAT, the GOAT.
I believe that, like, Black people, you know, we have more money than we have. If we take just Black people alone, you know, we would be the number 10th richest country in the world. Just Black people in America, you know.
Oh, that's deep.
Just for Black people in America. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of money. The problem is, we don't have the unity. You know, like Malcolm X said, Everybody knows that.
Uncle Mike, ask a question.
What?
I got it, because I want to get this out. I got to ask you a question. Uncle Michael, if you met a Republican, a black Republican, who said, hey, man, I saw you on your nephew's show. I really want to mentor you in business and help you get up. Black man, I want to be friends and work with you. Do you work with him every day and be his friend?
I'm going to tell you, Ray, if I met a black Republican, I'm going to watch his ass. Oh,
see? Really? See?
I'm going to watch
it. And hear me out. Hear me out. And what I'm going to tell
him. I don't think it's a black Republican I like today.
Oh, your nephew's. I ain't a Republican. I want to say I am, but I'm
really
not. I'm
going to watch his ass.
But my point is this. Is see, and that's the difference between you and me.
I don't care
what color, creed, race, sex, gender you come from. If you can help me be better, I want it.
Yeah.
I want it, and I want it right
you
now.
You turn me against my people.
But here's out. Here's me out. Here's you out. Your people ain't always the people you started with. Sometimes you got to get with different people. And sometimes you got to do different.
No, we fucked up, Ray.
Tell me.
We fucked up because we integrate.
Well, Uncle Michael, that's a bigger picture thing that we can't stop. Little Ray, you want to know what that
means? Yeah, what does integrate mean? What do you mean by that?
That means we started hanging out with white people.
White people are kind of cool.
I mean, they're cool, but I'm just saying is, New York, let's be real, New York is very multi-ethnic, right? And you can go to a neighborhood that, you know, they call Little Italy, run by Italians, right? Fucking Italians run everything. They got the businesses and everything. They got a place in New York, Crown Heights, Jews run that shit. Jews own the store. Before you was born, there was something in New York that black people was trying to boycott the Korean store, right? And, you know, because the Koreans were disrespecting black people, right? And, you know, they had this black guy who I can't stand named Roy Ennis. And he gets on TV, I'm going to give them food. I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? You know? But I remember my boss, who was Jewish, he said, you know, we would never have that Korean store in our neighborhood. They would find other ways to get rid of them. Because Jews believe in keeping money. I worked for a Jewish chef, and he said, part of our religion is we going to look out for each other. Look what's happening in Israel. I agree with that 100,000. I disagree with what they're doing 1,000%. But any Jew from around the world, they're going to say, we're going to look out for Israel.
Self-preservation.
You know what I'm saying? You know?
But that's what I'm saying. But that's not wrong.
I don't think it's wrong.
Because let me tell you something. If everybody's looking out for their own, then everybody's own is fine.
But they keep us. They put us in a way,
Michael,
where we don't really look out for each other.
No, we allow that mentality to come in. I'm looking out.
Yeah, but Ray, I'm not trying to disrespect you, Ray. But, you know, what you doing and is a one in a million.
I don't believe that.
Yes, Ray, I work for a record company. I see records. There's a guy who was on Divorce Court. He had a number one song, right? You know, and the nigga wound up being broke, and he was working at the airport, Atlanta Airport. All he had was that gold record. You know what I'm saying? The point, I think that we need to be strategic in what we want to be. Like, fucking, you know, music business is good, but you need a backup plan.
Raymond, fuck a backup plan.
Main
whatever
plan.
You want to go with, we're going to go in life. And by the way, that's how we're going to end the show right now. Fuck a backup plan. Fuck a backup plan. If you believe in yourself, if you know it, go for it. Backup plans is for people that are like, well, what if it don't work? And I'd rather focus on what if it does.
Well, I think you need to take, you have a plan and always have a backup plan. Like, if you want to be the president, you don't be the president, you want to become a senator. You want to become a congressperson. Nah. You want to be a fucking rapper? How many 60-year-old rappers that you got out here? Man, I wanted to be a rapper.
Melly Mel.
I mean, I like Melly Mel, but I'm just saying this. How many 60-year-old motherfuckers? I remember I was working for this job, and it was this dude, I swear to God, he was 70 years old. He was like, man, I got this shit coming out. What the fuck you made? You got this shit coming out. Nigga.
Talks about my cousin who did this all the time.
But other than that.
And guys, that's why we call this 3Gs. Three generations. 3Gs. And I was raised in this, and I want this show to be something that families can watch together, because this proves that all black people are not the same. Even though we would like to think we are, we're not. And we need to embrace different and be open to different. And I hope that that's what comes from this show. My name is Ray Daniels. This is my Uncle Michael, a.k.a. Uncle Chump, a.k.a.
The bootleg historian.
See, even then, he puts bootleg on his name.
Because I didn't have any education.
Just call yourself the black historian.
I know a lot
historian.
More shit.
Call yourself a black historian.
I like bootleg.
Okay,
so let's do that. Let's stay with that. And this is you, my son.
The kid that got it all.
The kid that has it all. And because his dad did everything in the power before he was born to make sure he had access. Rather than making kids without having access and fucking up and breaking and killing our generation. I wanted to break the chains that Uncle Michael told me to break, and my son is a manifestation of that, and so is my daughter.
And then next time we talk, I'm going to tell you why I believe Drake is not a rapper, and why I believe that wasn't really a big fan of Jay-Z.
Next week.
You know,
I can't wait.
I think Southern rap fucked up this country. I think West Coast rap. Oh God, don't let me get started on West Coast rap.
Oh my,
Uncle Michael, we got to wrap the show. We got to save that for next week. It's going to be so funny to do. This is 3Gs. We are out. Let's go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.